This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum. Peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host. You're watching the Dean Show. And for those of you who have been keeping up with us, we've been talking about marriage, keeping it together, something that's very important, that you find a good spouse and you get married and you try to stay together. And we mentioned that broken homes lead to broken society. So we covered on marriage, and we're getting some advice from Sheikh Abu Toba. When we come back, if you didn't see the other parts of the episodes, go to thedeanshow.com and look for Abu Toba's special section there, so you can kind of catch up to where we're at. Today we're going to continue on giving advice for those who are married, and even those who aren't married, who are thinking about getting married. Well, we know that this is half your deen, so you need to race to get married, but the right spouse. And we're going to be getting more of this advice, and we're also going to touch upon divorce. If it leads to that, you come in peace, you leave in peace, the proper way. When we come back here on the Dean Show, sit tight, don't go nowhere.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Back again on the Dean Show. Thank you for finding the time to be with us.
Alhamdulillah.
People, you have your own section there at the Dean Show.
My own section.
Yes, and we've done a lot of shows before, a few, and people can go back there to catch up. We're kind of doing a family series. We're giving some advice. Now, just to kind of recap, we talked about the importance of keeping the family together, the family structure, the man's role. He's the person that Allah, just like you have one God, one creator who's maintaining, sustaining this whole universe. You have one leader in the house. You have, like, what we made the analogy of, the pilot and the co-pilot.
Right.
So the man who's leading the house and the woman, he's being extra kind. We talked about extra kind to the wife, giving her rights, and the woman also having to acknowledge that he's the one that God Almighty put in charge, and listening to him, obviously in the obedience to Allah. And then we can recap, and then we'll go into, if this whole family structure, the family business, doesn't work, then we got to leave in peace as we came in peace, right? That's the divorce.
Naam, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Like you said, the first things that have to be established. A long time ago, I remember when I first got married, me and my wife, we were arguing, and Siraj Wahaj, we bumped into him. We went around the corner, we ran right into Siraj, Imam Siraj Wahaj, Hafidhullah, and he saw us arguing, and he looked down on us with his fatherly and uncle-y eyes, and he said, "Don't ask for your rights until first you fulfill all your obligations." And then he told my wife the same thing. And that lasted, that piece of advice lasted about 10 years of our marriage, and even then more so after it. The important thing before you go to divorce is that you look to see that you've tried your best to fulfill the obligations that you have upon your spouse. Because what we find in divorce is most of the people saying, me, me, me. The ego gets involved, and they've decided that instead of trying to fix it, some people want to destroy it. But what the proper thing to do is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to keep her in kindness and to let her go in kindness. This shows that this is on the part of the husband, okay? I can't stress it enough that the major thing the husband has to do is be kind. Be kind to your wife. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that you spoil your wife and give her everything that she wants to, that she wants, when you're trying to do things. Because some things she asks you to do may be wrong. We have the ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that sometimes your wives and your children can be adubun lakum, can be enemies for you. Fahdaruhum. So take your precautions against them. And this is in reference to Ibn Abbas explains to us, some men, some Meccan men who accepted Islam in the early days, but they never made hijrah. Why didn't they make hijrah? Because their families their wives and their children, said, oh, you know, they're having fights over there. There's, you know, it's going to be harder for us. We're doing so well over here economically. So they didn't make the hijrah. And when they finally did go, they saw that other people who had accepted Islam after them, and the initial stages didn't know as much as they had made such great leaps and bounds in their deen and left them behind, that they wanted to punish their families for this type of thing. But Allah revealed in the Quran that you should forgive them and wipe it away, and He is Ghafoor Rahim. So it shows that the man has to understand two things from this ayah. That sometimes the decisions that his wife and his children want him to make may be wrong, and this may be actually a form of animosity and enemies to him, so he has to make the decisions. But at the same time, he has to be nice to them and kind to them in the whole interaction and forgive them for their mistakes, the things that they make. So if it comes down to divorce, Allah says in the Quran, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that the men are the maintainers and the providers and protectors of the women. This is in the marriage and during the divorce as well. And Allah tells in the Quran that the men وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً, and the men have over the ladies a degree. What is this degree? Again, Ibn Abbas, he defines for us that the degree that the men have over the ladies is that even though the ladies cannot fulfill all the rights the men have, because even though the women have more rights, the man's one right, the right to be obeyed, is such a great right that the Prophet ﷺ said, if I were to make anyone prostrate in front of and before someone else, it would be that the woman prostrate to man. But that's not the way it is. It's wahdaniyah. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we mentioning this? The degree is that the man, even though he knows the woman can't give him his rights, he's going to give her and fulfill her rights. He's going to look out for her and make sure that she gets everything that she has coming. The Prophet said, marry your daughters to those men who have taqwa, muttaqeen. Why? Because if they love them, then that's good, and there'll be love spread amongst the ummah. And if he doesn't like her, at least because of his taqwa, he'll give her her rights. What are her rights in divorce? As I said, the men are the maintainers and providers for the women. So maybe when we come back, we can talk about how exactly the man gives the woman her rights with regards to divorce.
Everything is laid out. There's no guesswork.
It's not up for you to decide. It's not up for me to decide. It's not up for anybody to do their own thing. It's straight laid out, the woman's rights and the man's obligations, the man's rights and the woman's obligations.
So just the same way you don't do jumping jacks and, you know, and worship God your own way, God has a system. The same way we make prostration, we go into all the different rituals, everything's been laid out. All that is there, the same way for marriage, divorce, getting together, all this is there in Islam.
Right. You know, the only reason I don't want to start on it because, you know, I wanted to go through each piece of it.
Every piece. Okay. Right. All right. No guesswork. That's what I want to leave off with. Everything's there in Islam.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
We'll be right back with more here on the Deen Show.
You think these things are going to bring you happiness? You know why you keep going back to the club and you keep going back to these desires? Because you never find satisfaction. It's going to end up causing you, if it hasn't already, a lot of pain. You think you're happy? You're kidding yourself. You really are. What we are offering in Islam, what we have found in Islam for ourselves, is a means by which our hearts are at peace. They're at rest. They're not discontent. We are pleased with what we have.
Back here on the Deen Show, and we're getting into now divorce. Okay, you tried everything and things just ain't working out. So you have this right to part ways.
Okay, you know, you haven't tried everything just yet.
Okay.
Okay. But most people think that they have tried everything and they're at their wits' end where to go. The problem that we have here in the West, I should say, is that most people do these divorces at home by themselves, and it causes a lot of confusion. They don't usually know what or exactly how to do it. They read the books and they say, hey, divorce three times. So they just start screaming, divorce, you're divorced, I can't stand you. You know, I'm out of here. And then this is not a divorce in Islam. The first thing the man has to do when he fears disloyalty from his wife, when he fears that his wife is going what we call a state of nushuz. And this is saying on the part of the man, because divorce is only in the hands of the man. It's not in the hands of the woman. The woman can ask for a khula, but it's still up to the man whether to grant it or not. And I'm telling everybody, all the different imams out there, do not go so quick to grant these ladies a khula. This is the advice that we get from our teachers, our professors, our shuyukh, you know, not to allow the Westerners to get these quick fix khulas, these annulments. Because these annulments are happening, it's become a fad nowadays. Every lady learns now that she can have a khula, she gets a quick fix khula, it's over and you're going about your business. No, that's not the purpose for it. So we're advising the imams not to be so quick in doing this, and the ladies to be careful even about asking of it. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that any woman who asks for a khula or divorce from her husband without having a good reason, then she will not find the scent of Jannah. And the scent of Jannah goes for a period of time, and some people say that 40 years, the distance of travel of 40 years, the scent of Jannah can be found, and Allah knows best. But this just shows the grave, you know, problem or challenge that is for the person who asks for a khula or a divorce and they don't deserve it, what's going to happen to them? So that's one thing. So divorce is only in the hand of the man. So we go to the thing, why do men get divorced? Why do men divorce a woman? Just looking at the best situation, meaning that the man is a good man and the woman is a good woman, right? Not going to these extremes. Then what has happened in the emotional bank account of a person, everybody has an emotional bank account. Like I have an emotional bank account with you, you have one with me. The difference with men is men give points and they take points away. So if I bring you a pie, some of Umi's cookies or something like that, you say, well, Abu Talib brought me some pies all the way from the other side of the country. I'm going to give him 100 points in my emotional bank account, right? But if I come and I say and I do something rude, you can say, well, Abu Talib was rude. Let me take 10 points off or 100 points off out of my emotional bank account. Whereas women, they only count by one. So if you get the cake or you get the diamond ring, you're only going to get 1 point. Men count by the level of difficulty. That's the difference. Women don't take away points when men take away points. This is important because this distinguishes the difference between why men can call for the divorce and why women cannot. When a man has zero in his emotional bank account for his wife, or he feels she's in the negative, okay, in the red, and she's not making enough points to get even, now he decides he wants to divorce her. So then he has to first and foremost, give his wife a good lecture. He has to talk to her. It doesn't mean that he sits there laboriously and points his fingers, you. No, but he has to have some game. He has to have some flavor. He has to talk to his wife in a way that would make her understand, if he can, that she has done something that displeases him. It may not even be wrong, but it may be something that he doesn't like and he doesn't want to happen in his household, and he has that right to do that. If he can get his wife to understand what he wants her to do and she returns back to being his wife, and this goes into a longer conversation as to the role of women in a society. You know, the women are our supposedly dedicated helpers. So a man gets married to a wife so she can help him in his life. Now, if she doesn't want to do that, then she doesn't want to be a wife. You know, and we have this big egotistical thing here in the West where it's like both of us are fighting and vying for the attention, when in actuality, there is a role for everyone. The father is, the husband is the lead. The woman is the supporting person, the supporting lead in that way. He is the one that comes and says what he wants. She is the one that gets it done, the manager of the house. He can say what he wants, and she, if he wants Mott's and she likes Heinz, she has to get Mott's. You know, and it is his way. And it's not him being a big baby to do that. So if she doesn't want to do that, you know, then he can say, okay, you know what? I'm going to separate beds with you. Now he stops sleeping with the lady in her bedroom. Does that mean he goes and doesn't come home? No. He separates bed with her. In fact, the rule is that she's supposed to get out of the bed. But most women won't do that. He sleeps in his bed and says, no, you don't sleep in my bed tonight. You sleep in over here, and he makes a nice little pallet for her, or a pull-out bed right next to the bed. Or if she decides, I'm not getting out of the bed, and most women say, I ain't getting out of the bed, you get out of the bed. Then he can turn the other way and sleep across the bed at the bottom, or he can get out the bed and sleep on the floor. He should not leave the room. He should go ahead and sleep on the floor, but not leave the room. And I know ladies think it's funny, but it's his bed. It's his bed. And again, this goes back to the point that the man is doing his job, meaning that he's providing for his family. If he's providing for his family, then it is his bed. And if his wife is helping in that, then there's going to be a problem, because whenever the economics are mixed, then it's not clear whose property it is. You know, the man should make sure that he provides everything he can for his family to avoid confusion. Okay? So now he stops sleeping with her. But this is only in the bedroom. The children shouldn't know. The neighbors shouldn't know. This shouldn't be something that's public knowledge. Everybody in the masjid is talking about it. She's on the floor, on the phone, talking to her friends. He's on the phone talking to his friends, and their business is being played out in the street. This is just going to cause jealousy. This is just going to cause people to give them the evil eye. This is going to cause the shaitan to get involved and to further sour their situation.
How about the mother-in-law, the close sister?
Now, the
family members, even them, they shouldn't be getting involved?
It depends on the family member. Uh-huh. That's to the discretion of the husband.
Yeah.
All that revolves, because remember, a woman is bound to obey her husband. And she is a libasun lahu, and he is a libasun laha. He is a covering for her. So if he doesn't want his business spread out to his other relatives, then she doesn't have a right to do that. Now, she does have a right to seek Islamic knowledge, meaning that if she doesn't understand something, she can call or get in touch with an imam, a knowledgeable person that he respects. She has to go to someone that he respects. It's not going to work if she goes to someone she respects and he doesn't respect that person. And if he doesn't respect anyone, then that's his fault, you know? But she should go to someone that he respects to ask what her rights are and what she should do next in this regard. And she should maybe call his father. As we see in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, one of the wives of one of the Sahaba was having a problem with her husband. He was not sleeping with her. He was praying all night and fasting all day. She went to his father and complained to his father about the situation. When the father came by and asked, "How are you doing?" she explained to him in clear terms that her son, what a good son he is, but he's not sleeping with me. He's praying all night and he's fasting all day. So the father understood that and took it to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and clarified how the son should behave. So then that's why we say that. You know, but the man has a right to be obeyed in his house. You know, and if the woman is going to say she wants to be treated like a woman, then she has to behave like a woman and not be like equal to a man to try to fight him or become physical with him. And I'm always suggesting to women, don't hit your husband. And then when your husband hit back, you call me and say, "Oh, he hit me." Don't hit. No one should hit. Okay? No, if you don't hit, then you don't get hit. And we're not talking about those women that get abused by men. Those men are clearly wrong. We're talking about when it's going both ways and then the woman try to phase it like he is the abusive type. Okay? Alhamdulillah. The next step then is, if he's so tired of his wife, he doesn't want to marry her, be married to her anymore, then what they should do is get a hakaman min ahlihi wa hakaman min ahliha. Then they should go and get advice from one person from her family, one person from his family. It doesn't have to be a family member. It could be anyone that they feel is knowledgeable enough and strong enough and respected enough to listen to his side or her side and articulate that between the two hakamen, the two judges between them. And at the same time, if there's those two people, whether respected or not, don't have Islamic knowledge, then they should introduce the third person, the imam or the scholar, to listen to what they come up with and talk to those two people outside of the two married people, the husband and wife. And they should then decide what should be the next steps. If the next step is that the husband should take some advice and do what's told, then the husband is bound to do what he's told. You know, if his wife has to change, then the wife is bound to do what she's told. If it's decided that both of them are stubborn, they're not going to do what we tell them to do, or this is not going to solve the issue, we move it to the next stage. The next stage is that the husband divorced the wife. How is the divorce going to happen? First thing he has to do, we said he stopped sleeping with her. What this means now, he cannot call the first cry of divorce until after he has stopped having intercourse with his wife, she has her menses, okay? And then she comes off her menses, and now she's clean from her menses, and he hasn't had sexual intercourse with her since she's been clean from her menses. So it's clear she's not pregnant. At this time, he can name divorce on her. He can say, "I divorce you," or any wording that would be clear that he's through and they're no longer going to be married. The imam should then be brought in and informed that you divorced your wife. This person divorced his wife. Why? Because when you do it in private, there's no clarity now. We bring two witnesses. The imam is the main witness here, and he might choose the muadhin or another person in her family or his family, like his father or her brother, another male, to witness the fact. It doesn't have to be physically there. It can be done throughout the phone. Then I always suggest that you talk to the wife and say, wife, do you understand that your husband has divorced you? Yes, he does. We make clarity, all right? Now he's divorced her. That's the first type of divorce. When that is there, the divorce is not over. The rule with us as teachers, as family counselors, is at-tawfiq khayrun min at-tafriq. This is the general rule. Keeping the families together is more important and better than separating them. So we find every route possible to try to keep the family together. So some people say, oh, we don't answer all the emails. All the emails about marriage, we answer. We get, because that is very important. You know, the family is the main structure of the society. And as you stated so eloquently, unhealthy family, unhealthy society. Broken family, busted society. Okay? So we want to make sure that the marriage does everything that we can to keep the family together. So we start to do more intervention. We always ask the people to read certain books, certain literature that we suggest. Sometimes the people get stubborn and say, well, this is not an Islamic book, but the Prophet ﷺ said, knowledge is the lost or beneficial things or the lost item of the believer. Wherever he finds it, he picks it up. Now she has to wait, thalathatu quru. Thalathatu quru. What is that? It's a term in Arabic that could mean the pure time when she's not on her menses, or it could mean the time that she's on her menses. It's again up to the discretion of the scholar, the imam, not the husband, for the imam. If he's on the interpretation that it's three periods, now the three periods start. Even though he divorced her after she was clear 1 month, that's not counted. When she has her next menses, that's considered one. Then the second menses, that's considered two. The third one, that's considered three. Some, those who consider the quru, her menses. Those that consider the pure period, her menses, now it takes a longer period of time. She has a menses, she comes off, that's one. She has a menses, she comes off, that's two. She has a menses, she comes off, that's three. Okay? So then it depends on how that imam is deciding to count how she's pregnant, which could drag out to 5 months. It could even take a lot longer if the woman is irregular in her menses. Because just because she's irregular and doesn't have her menses every month or something like that, doesn't mean that we rush. We still wait. This, she could be pregnant. And if she's pregnant, then the period of her iddah, we call this the iddah, this waiting period. And the waiting period has to be explained as well. But if she's pregnant, the waiting period is not just until she gives birth, but when she's finished giving her postpartum bleeding. Okay? When she finishes giving her postpartum bleeding. Okay? So, the iddah period, this period, should be done in the home. The wife doesn't say, okay, I'm divorced, well, I'm leaving, I'm going back to my mother's house. No, she doesn't leave, she can't go anywhere. She stays in the home. And he doesn't leave either. They are forced to be under the same circumstances. Why? Because then that might lead them. When we said a tawfiq, it might lead them to come back together. He's mad at her right now. But then when he sees her in her lingerie, he falls in love with her and remembers why he wants to be with her. The Prophet ﷺ said, you don't dislike something in a believing lady, except that there's something else that you like about her. Okay? So you may not like the fact that she said something foul to you, but then in the salah you forgot an ayah, and she recites that ayah and reminds it to you, and you remember that you love her deen. And that she remembered that ayah and she reminded you, you may want to stay together just because of that. Or because you can't decide who gets the cat. You know, we had a situation, some people, they wanted to get divorced, but they couldn't decide who gets the cat. So they stayed together. So whatever the thing is that we can find to keep the people together, they stay together. So they're in the home together. They have to sleep in the same bedroom. If they want to separate the beds, we can't force them. We don't have any control. But we want them to sleep in the same bed with each other. Perhaps that might encourage them to stay married. Anything that would make them break the iddah, breaks the iddah. He can kiss her on the cheek and say, you know, I love you. You know, I'm sorry, or I don't want to divorce you. He could say, you're not divorced anymore. He doesn't even have to say anything. If he can make her understand that he's not going to divorce her, the iddah is broken and they're no longer divorced. And we try to do anything that we can do to keep the people together. Okay?
Let's take a break and we'll continue more with this very important topic here on the Dean Show. Sit tight, we'll be right back.
I came from a science major. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement, where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I am God, or where he says, worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we're going to have to cut short. We just want to wrap it up now because, I mean, these are long topics. But we just want to stimulate people that, you know what, the same way that you go to a doctor when you have an ailment, you have a disease, you know, you don't mix some formula together and the chemicals, and then you just experiment.
Right.
We have the verbatim Word of God, the Quran, and we have the authentic sayings of the last and final messenger. Everything is there, and scholars, people such as yourself, who deduce everything from the divine guidance, and we have everything. It's clear. We don't have to go guesswork. We don't have to go to the coffee shop and get advice.
Right.
We don't have to go to
the water fountain.
We can come straight to people such as yourself and the teachers, because isn't it true that the prophets, they didn't leave money or wealth, but they left the knowledge?
Right. It's true.
So we want to sit with people of knowledge. So summarize everything in this last minute that we have on this topic.
Well, you know, it's a very difficult topic to summarize in one word or in a minute. So like you said, we have the people that, like, okay, we have a website, admin@thefix.org or the myfix.org. And on that website, we provide marital counseling. People are in a rush to break up a marriage. Marriage is one of the most important institutions in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said it is the most important contract you can make after the Shahada. Because afterward, you know, ladies become lawful for you and by the word of Allah. So we want to make sure that we fulfill that thing. If someone has some marital problems, they can contact us. If someone wants to learn about how to get married, they can contact us at thefix.org or myfix.org or check us out on the web. And we'll help them through the long route of marital, you know, collusion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
Thank you for being with us. May God Almighty Allah reward you.
Amen.
Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. As-salamu alaykum. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. Marriage is so important. It's so important. It's half your deen. You find that right spouse, husband or wife, and now you want to make sure that you're living according to the guidelines. There's no guesswork. Everything's there. You're extra kind to your wife. And why is you respect your husband? You respect each other. And you live in peace and harmony. And that's when you get the tranquility within each other. Try to avoid all this unnecessary discourse, unnecessary argumentation. You know, try to really adhere to the Quran, adhere to the guidelines that the last and final messenger, peace be upon him, he told us to adhere to, but you got to get the knowledge, you got to seek the knowledge and live it so you can be successful in this life and definitely in the next. Jannah, paradise, is what we're striving for. This life is short, it can end at any time, and we want to get to Jannah. That's the ultimate prize. Until next time, peace be unto you.
Show us the way to Allah's grace. This is the deen of Islam.